Say again your last, by Smile Backwards. The fandom is Stargate Atlantis, the pairing, John and Rodney. The ratings general.
Take my hand, let me make you mine. I'm through waiting, taking my time. Never felt like this before. Take my name.
When John and Rodney finally officially get married, it's a 15-minute ceremony on the West Pier. There's some cake and clapping, but in general no one makes a big deal of it. John and Rodney have been an established fact for years, and in a shocking twist of Atlantis versus Earth, they're reasonably well liked on Atlantis. John doesn't actually have to deal with Earth a lot, a sizeable perk of living 3 million light years away, which is why he's almost managed to forget what absolute assholes a lot of people are, military brass in particular. It's an unwelcome reminder when a full-bird colonel is delivered alongside the platoon of Marines John actually asked for. Colonel Martin bears a double stigma in John's eyes. Both a superior officer, and he's apparently here for an audit. Military audit on Atlantis is generally code for tell John Shepard what a colossal fuck-up he is, and heavily imply that he could be replaced at any moment. John doesn't enjoy it. He's thoroughly not enjoying it during the Day 3 debrief that Martin insists on. The Atlantis engineers have recently managed to set up a video call relay through Midway, which everyone regretted immediately, and John expects will soon experience technical difficulties, we're working on it, but which currently means his meeting includes General O'Neill and General Hammond on screen. Martin has spent upwards of 20 minutes droning through infractions like sharing proprietary Earth medical technology, as if he's some megalomaniacal pharmaceutical CEO that doesn't believe people in Pegasus should have access to penicillin, before he finally approaches something John actually cares about, the state of the armory. Major Lorne, please describe the inventory system currently in place for the Atlantis armory, Martin says. Yes, sir, Lorne says. Colonel Shepard, Lieutenant Colonel Shepard, Martin says, stressing the lieutenant, which is a jerk hierarchy move. Everyone calls Lieutenant Colonels Colonel in informal settings. It's Lieutenant Colonel McKay now, actually, John says reflexively, just to be an asshole back. Rodney and I finally tied the knot last week. Lorne keeps an impressively blank face, the one that cleans up on poker nights. Congratulations, Colonel, Hammond says, unfazed. Hope you got my present in the mail, O'Neill adds. We did, sir. Thanks. John doesn't really expect to use the two fishing rods that arrived on the Daedalus, but he appreciates the sentiment. Apologies, sir, I forgot, Lorne says. Lieutenant Colonel McKay, he continues, with absolutely zero inflection, personally supervises the monthly inventory of the main armory on A-Deck. I supervise the inventory of the secondary armory monthly as well. They're done on alternating schedules. Main armory on the first of the month, secondary armory on the 15th. We do a full count of arms and ammunition, and I can provide you the reports with exact makes and numbers. We could use some more grenades, John puts in. Martin gives him a withering look, so John shuts back up. There are actually competent logistics people at the SGC. He's reasonably confident that they'll continue to be supplied with the munitions they inevitably end up needing. The meeting continues for another interminable stretch of time before O'Neill does a fake watch check to his obviously blank wrist and says, "This has been great, but I've got to head over to my next riveting meeting. Colonel, you'll have any reports sent through the usual channels?" "Yes, sir," Martin says. He salutes the screen sharply, just as it goes black.
"Thank you, Colonels, Major,"
Hammond says, more politic, and then he disconnects too. Martin looks at John.
"I expect your inventory reports to be sent by 1700 hours, he says, and leaves the briefing room.
John turns to look at Lorne. "I've got it covered, sir," Lorne says. "And you'll remind them to send more grenades?" John says. They had to use a whole case, along with 30 pounds of C4, to break off a section of the city with a lab that started leaking poisonous gas. And John has gotten multiple complaints that the supply officers are now hoarding the remainder. Lorne's good at that military brass bullshit speak. He'll dress it up nice. All
to maintain operationally necessary levels of explosive ordnance, the Atlantis base respectfully requests, yada yada yada.
Sure thing, Colonel McKay, Lorne says with a smirk.
John is no stranger to being hoisted by his own petard, so it shouldn't be a surprise that his McKay remark ends up the latest in a long line of personal and professional fuck-ups. O'Neill and Hammond know John well enough to know he was just being a sarcastic bastard, but Martin takes John's proclamation for gospel truth, and since he wants to make sure all of John's failures are properly attributed to him, Martin's military-wide memos and emails now refer to John as LTC McKay.
John tosses the latest memo, re, inappropriate use of gateships, into the trash bin and drags a hand down his face. He cannot let Rodney know about this. There are certain things you can live down, halfway turning into a bug, for instance, and certain things you can't, like spontaneously taking your husband's name in front of three superior officers. Realistically, there's no way he's going to be able to both maintain the fiction and keep Rodney in the dark about it, but John wants to live in denial for as long as possible. Martin is, of course, as unhelpful in that regard as he is in every other way.
Lieutenant Colonel McKay, Martin says, as John and the team are gearing up at the gate for a mission to P9X-303.
Rodney and John both turn.
Yes, Rodney says, squinting distrustfully.
I said Lieutenant Colonel McKay, Martin says condescendingly.
And John can hear it exactly how Rodney does. Lieutenant Colonel McKay. Separate addresses to two separate people.
Rodney opens his mouth, no doubt to respond with something cutting. John can practically hear him.
Yes, Colonel. On Atlantis, most of us follow the custom of answering to our names.
So he elbows in quickly.
What can I do for you, sir? John says, and Rodney's mouth snaps closed.
He gives John a justifiably suspicious look because John doesn't usually offer to be helpful to superior officers, and they both hate Martin. He's pissed off 99% of the expedition with his poking around and his obvious opinion that scientists are dead weight on gate teams.
I've noticed your after-action reports are often tardy, Martin says.
Yeah, John thinks. Because sometimes he ends up on his back in the infirmary, and the rest of the time there tends to be something more pressing going on than writing up his observations.
Martin continues, meaningfully, let's make sure that's not the case on this mission.
Sometimes John genuinely considers the merits of walking through the gate and never coming back. There are dozens of friendly planets that would take him in. He could be a farmer or learn blacksmithing. He'd never have to see a reporter or superior officer again.
I'll do my best, sir, he says.
The Marines said you're doing the Earth marriage custom where you steal McKay's name, Ronan says, after the usual Thursday workout where he kicks the crap out of John on the mats. Of course Ronan's heard about it through the military grapevine. Taylor probably has too, and is trying to find a tactful time to mention it.
I mean, John says, waving a hand vaguely, and then stops because that's all he's got, really.
Ronan nods. I'm still going to call you Shepard.
Ah, John says.
John is sewing one of Rodney's McKay nameplates onto the sleeve of his uniform before he thinks, okay, maybe this has gone too far. He should walk this back. Say he's changed his mind, that it's too confusing to have two McKays on the senior staff. He doesn't know why he's committed to this so hard. Except. John doesn't go in for a lot of self-reflection, but the thing is, he never really fit in with the Shepherds. His mother's a dim memory, and he didn't get along with his dad, and while he and Dave are fine now, they also haven't talked in over a year. They just don't have anything in common. John Shepherd has a black mark and a flip attitude, and a knee that's probably going to give out in 5 years tops, and those things are going to follow him regardless,
but something makes his fingers finish the final stitch and run a hand over the name patch. McKay. There are some things, John thinks, that you can change. John starts a list after that. Things to do. Update his email signature. Fill out a truly horrific number of government forms. Maybe, potentially, talk to Rodney is on there. But before he gets to it, Rodney shows up in their quarters, waving his tablet and shoves it at John's face. John recognises the look of one of Martin's memos on the screen. The subject line is, Proper address of LTC McKay. If this is a joke, can you please let me in on it? Rodney says, his chin tipped up in the way he does when he's trying to be cavalier and missing it by a mile. Because I actually have some feelings about... Yeah, John's not surprised. Rodney has always liked to claim things. That's mine, John's heard him say, aggressively territorial, hundreds of times over the course of the expedition, about laptops and coffee cups and ZPMs that ended up with McKay scribbled on them in black Sharpie marker. He said it to people on other planets, who John is 98% sure weren't even flirting with him, although John will admit his track record on seeing that coming is pretty spotty. He hadn't even realised that Rodney liked him until Atlantis Year 3, when Rodney had finally cracked and said, Oh my God, do we have to get fifth grade about this? Fine. Do you like me back, yes or no? I'd be willing to consider hyphenation, Rodney is saying. And you'd get to have your name partially attached to a Nobel that way. Rodney, John says. And Rodney's mouth comes to a halt. Is it cool if I borrow your name? For, like, the next 40 years or so? I didn't realise you were so optimistic about our chances for continued survival in this galaxy, Rodney says, trying to maintain a haughty tone. But also, yes. Cool, John says, and pulls him in for a kiss. The end. Take my days, baby, take my nights. Go and take the rest of my